stay and maybe join in the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from here.
Well, listeners... Those of you who can still afford to buy the Radio Times will have read that this week's Take It From Here is a special one. Now, any of you here in the studio know in what way? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, you rotten lot. Only read the corset advertisements, you lot. Tell them, Bentley.
Yes. Listeners, today, Take It From Here is 10 years old. It's our 10th anniversary.
Now, that may not be very epoch-making news to you, but it's a sobering thought for us, I can tell you. 10 years at it. It's a long time, isn't it, Bentley?
Oh, it is, Jim. Practically a third of my life. You and I, old chum, we're not the same people we were.
I admit I've put on a bit of weight in the interim.
You've put on a bit round the outer rim, too. Oh, but so much happens in 10 years. That was the year the National Health Service started.
Oh, yes. We gave it a bit of publicity, didn't we, to help it along?
We did, yes.
To the tune of Tico Tico, as I recall. Let's see how it wears after 10 years.
For teeth and wigs and specs, you needn't send your checks. Now it's decided that they're all provided free.
Your specs and teeth and wigs, the syrup of your figs, will come your way without the payment of a fee.
Cause wigs and specs and teeth, the state will now bequeath. We're all in heaven now that Bevan pays the bills. So teeth and wigs and specs, the nation now collects. Each contribution's a solution to our ills. Although the setup seems to sound an awful sauce, it is quite all right, white or white, all for a corset.
A potion, lotion or brew, perhaps a capsule or two, or an appointment for an ointment or a pill.
And if you've a spell when you're unwell, well, then you're wealthy.
For nowadays it never pays you to be healthy.
And so the general approbation comes with this notification of a nation waiting patiently for blue. John McHugh.
Oh, by golly, that's a breath of the past.
Yeah, we didn't get it right the first time, did we?
We haven't improved. But do you remember what happened after we sang it? One of the big pots in the health service was so bucked about it, he rang up and said if I wanted a pair of glasses, he'd rush them through special priority.
And what happened?
Oh, they're due any day now.
These facts have no comedy value, listeners, but we're just trying to make you feel as old as we do. Wake up at the back there! I haven't said that for years, have I? We used to go rather a bundle on catchphrases, didn't we?
I don't remember.
You don't... Black Mark, Bentley! We're really bashing the old nostalgia now, eh? What were the other phrases we used to indulge in?
Come on, Jim Edwards. Learn a trade.
It's old Wal. Yeah. Remember old Wal from the building?
Yeah, I've come to offer my congratulations on your 10th, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, they'll always be proud of you in the buildings. You know, Mr. B, They got a plaque halfway up the wall. Jim Edwards was born here.
How was he born halfway up the wall?
I don't know, but that's been my state of mind ever since, anyway. Boy.
Yeah, you know, you should never have left, Jim.
Shouldn't I never?
No, you should have stayed where you belong and learned to trade like Alf Sludge.
Alf Sludge? What a ghastly name. They come in thick and fast now. What'll I say, Nick?
You may ridicule, but Alfie's fixed himself up with a really worthwhile trade. He gives you the steps.
Like Victor Sylvester?
No. Steps in the underground.
Huh?
Look, you know when you go down one of them moving staircases? When you get to the bottom, the steps disappear under a grid thing.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Well, under there is Alf. He picks each step up till he's got an armful, nips up a ladder, and feeds them back one at a time through the grid thing.
Leads them back through the grid thing at the top?
Yeah.
I thought it was an endless belt.
So it is. He's belting up and down that ladder all day long. So don't forget, Jim boy, if ever you want to get up them stairs, come on, Jim Edwards.
That was a good one, was it not? Good old Wall, yeah. A faithful beast who has served us well.
Yeah.
In and out of season.
What about the other people who've trod the Take It From Here treadmill during the last 10 years? People like Pearl Carr, Alan Dean, Sally Rogers, David Dunhill.
David Dunhill, the madcap of the announcer's common room. I used to call him Dunners, didn't I?
That's right, yes. And our first orchestra conductor, Frank Cantell.
Frank Cantell. I used to call him Cantors.
And never forgetting Joy Nichols.
Joy Nichols. I used to call her Miss Nichols.
Thank you.
And what about the old Alma Cogan there, then, eh?
Calm yourself, Ben. Oh, Jim, those dresses she wore.
Oh, absolutely mesmerized the orchestra, she did.
You're not kidding. I once saw the cello player gaping at her and trying to tune his cello by twisting his ear.
With no success. And you know what I think was one of our most fortunate moments? The day June Whitfield joined us.
Ah, here, here. Jim, I tell you what I admire so much about June. When she reads a script, she makes it sound so convincing.
Oh, absolutely. June has that rare gift of burning sincerity. Let's call her in.
Yes.
Oh, June. June.
Yes,
June.
Yes.
June, tell us what it's been like working with us.
It has been the most magnificent experience any girl could wish for, and I have enjoyed every precious moment.
Miss Whitfield, your sincerity doesn't seem to be burning quite as bright as usual. Somebody pushed your damper in, dear.
No, Jim, I just can't read Dick's writing.
Oh. Would you care to join us in this short, nostalgic wallow?
Oh, I'd love to, but, well, you must remember one thing, Jim. I don't go back as far as you do.
You'd look funny if you did. But, June, did you listen to Take It From Here before you joined it?
I never missed one program, and I loved every...
All right. Never mind the crib. Is there anything that sort of sticks out?
One thing you used to do before I joined up was... Oh, that fellow talking to his girl.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. It was a concession we used to make to the more romantic-minded listeners. We used to set the scene as, some tranquil woodland dell. You'd hear the songbirds sing, and if you closed your eyes, you could see the sun-dappled greenery and smell the scent of the wild flowers. And from a fallen tree trunk would come the voice of romance.
Oh, my, this. Oh, Mavis, how peaceful it is here in this fold of the world. Just you, me, and that young couple on the verge. Shall we partake our picnic now? I have what my landlady calls a road to Mandalay sandwiches. The brawn comes up like thunder. And for afters, I have purchased a peach. Peach. Here, let me gouge out the brown part of yours with my thumb. Oh, Mavis, how bewitching you look on your heliotrope blouse with the tantalizing glimpses of death. It makes me feel so abandoned. I could just tear off my boots and run berserk through the bluebells in my naked socks.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town,
we'd have been aware
that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then
It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. And as Dorothy Parker once said to her boyfriend, fare thee well. As Columbus announced when he knew he was bounced, it was swell, Isabel, swell.
It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights.
A trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things.
If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town,
we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Yes, we did have fun, and there's no harm done.
It was one of those fabulous, wonderful, one of those things.
Thank you. Thank you, Keynotes. Don't go away. I wish to talk to your leader. Johnny Johnson.
Yes, Dick. Yes.
Johnny, do you think that song was quite the right one for our anniversary program?
Well, what was wrong with it, then?
Oh, nothing, nothing. What I meant, Johnny, was, well, as you and your group have worked with me for 10 years, you might have felt like paying some kind of musical tribute.
A musical tribute to you? Such as what?
Oh, Johnny, you can't ask me to suggest one. Dash it, you know me by now. If I have a fault, which I haven't, it's modesty. But oh, Mr. Wonderful, or it's delightful, it's delicious, it's de Bentley.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Here, did you find anything wrong with the song we sang, Jim?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's some of the closest harmony I've ever seen. But it just seems that the song seemed irrelevant, that's all, irrelevant.
Irrelevant?
Do you know what that means?
Just one of those things, irrelevant?
Yeah,
Jim.
They've given me a play-out tune. Every week for 10 years, the orchestra have played that for the programme to fade out on.
Have they really?
Do you mean to say you've never heard them play it?
Well, my dear Johnson, by that stage of the proceedings, I'm usually halfway to the boozer. I mean, you know that. You know that?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim.
What?
Tonight, me and the other keynotes will wait outside the boozer till closing time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we'll sing you a special anniversary song as you emerge. A song that is relevant.
What is it?
Catch a Falling Star.
Thank you, Johnston. Make a note, Bentley, next week for stargazers.
Jim.
He talks nice.
Yes,
doesn't he?
Yes.
For
yes.
A singer?
Yes. I thought he was quite smart, his observation. However, Jim, it's not as easy, you talk about, you know, getting the stargazers, it's not as easy as all that to replace people in Take It From Here.
No.
Don't you remember the trouble we had when Joy left?
Oh, yes, that was a crisis in Type Affairs, wasn't it? 1953, that was.
Yes.
We auditioned hundreds of applicants with no success. Mm. And then one evening, we went to see a performance of Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion. I say Bernard Shaw's because he wrote it.
Yes.
And as you were walking home from the theatre,
wonderful show, wasn't it?
Mm.
You know, Jim, I wonder why they don't make Pygmalion into a musical. A professor of elocution who takes a young Cockney girl and transforms her into a society beauty. They could call it Mayfair Lady.
Now, look, Bentley, I know more about show business than you'll ever... I tell you this, he would never run.
I suppose you're right. Sir.
Mind you, it's given me an idea for replacing Joy. Mm. Suppose we find a girl whom I can transform, a piece of raw human clay, whom I can mould into a different shape, like Epstein.
Well, I don't want a girl who's shaped like Epstein. No, Jim, it's impossible. You're barking up the wrong creek. Now,
dash it, Bentley, I know I can do it. I'm a professor too. What do you think I got my degree in elocution for?
8 cornflake packets, wasn't it?
Oh, no, I never.
No, no, no.
Oh, no, no, never clever, Dick. Listen, open your opera hat. You look as if you're wearing a gramophone record.
Oh, thank you. I was finding it hard to balance. I say, aren't we passing through Covent Garden?
Ah, so we are. I noticed the smell. 2 years. By Jove, Bentley. Here's where I'll find my piece of common clay among these coarse barrow bints.
Barrow bints? But, Jim, their appearance, their manners. Look at that one skylarking with a fruiterer. He's just done something caddish with a radish. Oh, Harkatar.
Bentley condemned them not for their language. Let's just think of them as angels with dirty phrases. Here, look. What about that girl? The one coming towards us now.
Jim, she's 16 feet tall, with a green face.
She's balancing 8 baskets of cabbages on her head. I shall have converse with her. I say, hey, you, working class wench. May I talk with you?
Me?
Yes.
Oh! Oh, dear.
Oh, my dear, you shouldn't have nodded your head with 8 baskets on it. Look at poor old Bentley up to his neck in cabbages. Are you all right, Bentley?
All right. First time I've been in the Savoy.
Here. What are you two after?
Well, that's rather a crude way of putting it. All we want... all we want is to ask you something. My child, listen. Would you consider joining the cast of Take It From Here?
Me? Get out of it. Go on, out me way. I'll fit you one across the mush with a bunch of rhubarb.
Extraordinary. Word for word what Dame Edith Evans answered. Bentley, this is it. This is our girl.
Yeah. Bentley? Bentley? Here, are you Dick Bentley?
I do have that privilege, yes.
Ooh, and you want me to go on the BBC with you? Oh, but Lord Lummy, Governor, you're a dude.
I may be a dude now, but, my dear, I too have been through the mill.
He's what we call mill dude. My child. I'm not talking to you, Bentley. I'm talking to... My child, I, Professor Edwards, am going to turn you into a BBC lady.
Oh.
An elegant, graceful BBC lady, fit to take your place among Richard Dimbleby.
Oh, Professor, me? A lady? Oh, wouldn't it be lovely? Oh, it's like some sort of dreamer. I want to pinch myself.
Allow me.
Oh, you'll never regret this, sir. Oh, bless you. Bless you, Gov.
Oh, Jim. Oh. She's kissing my wrist. See? Left a little bit of chewing gum on my Mickey Mouse watch.
Get up, child. We must start work immediately. Now then. Now, what's your name?
April Easter Meadow.
Oh, my word. You'll never get anywhere in radio with a name like that. Now, Bentley, think.
Yes?
A name that's more sophisticated than April Easter Meadow.
Well, suppose we change April to June, Easter to wit, and meadow to field.
June, wit, field. Ah. Well done, Benters. Come, child, to work.
And so June Whitfield's elocution lesson started. To improve the projection of her voice, the professor made her go outside every evening and declaim a speech with her mouth filled with pebbles. It worked beautifully till the evening she got hiccups and broke 3 windows. And all day long, the professor worked remorselessly to improve her diction.
How now, brown cow?
Oh, dear.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Next.
Hartford, Hereford, Hampshire.
Oh, dear.
Stewed prunes and prisms. Stewed...
No. Prisms.
Prisms.
Your vowel sounds are slipping again. You must remember, to succeed in Take It From Here, it's essential to be vowel-minded. Come on. My good girl. Watch my mouth.
Yes, sir.
Stewed prunes.
Oh.
Notice how I get stewed before even touching prunes. Now, observe my lips. Every evening, Aunt Ada's Adam's apple oscillates.
Oh, It ain't half difficult for me, Professor.
It's pretty embarrassing for Uncle Ted. These things have got to be faced, my dear. Now then, with me.
Anna Branca. Anna Branca. Anna Branca.
I had to miss the next 3 weeks of June's training as I was on holiday in the south of France, where I spent the whole of the last week swimming underwater. My bathing trunks had slipped off. And when I got back to the professor's, I found him so excited that his moustache was drooping over his mouth. When he spoke, his words were strained.
Make it like a miracle. Just wait till you hear. June, June! You remember this sunburned gentleman, don't you?
Oh, yes. How now, brown cow?
Jimmy, you've done it. You've done it. By Jove, old man, you've done it.
Yes.
Miss Whitfield, please. Please. Speak me a little more, diction.
Certainly. Who will set light to the bishop's celluloid collar? I will set light to the bishop's celluloid collar. See, the bishop's celluloid collar is ablaze.
Well, Bentley?
Holy smoke! And so, listeners, the Pygmalion story came true. The producer of Take It From Here was intrigued by June's history. When he saw her, he was even more intrigued by her geography. She got the job.
Yes, if it weren't for Jim, I'd still be carrying cabbage baskets in dirty old Covent Garden.
Oh, come now.
At nearly twice the money I'm getting now.
Oh, please don't thank me. The way I look at it, we found a little wildflower growing in common clay. If that little wildflower has today grown into a choice bloom, well, that's nature's work, not mine. I think of myself as just the fertilizer.
And I'm sure that's how we all think of
it. Well, now, what are we going to do to end this birthday treat?
Perhaps our beloved producer, Charles Maxwell, is the man to choose our last item. Let's ask him up, shall we? Charles? Charles? Would you care to step up and talk on the wireless?
Oh, thank you. Well, listeners...
A bit nearer the microphone, Charles.
Thank you, Nick. Well, listeners...
Honestly, you would think he'd know, wouldn't you? Go on, Charles, speak up.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, listeners, this is Take It From Here's 10th anniversary.
Told them that.
If they don't know now, they haven't switched on. What have you been doing in that fish tank there? Don't you listen to what we say?
I said, do you mind if I get on?
Did you hear that? Get on. You've got on all right. If it wasn't for us, you'd still be doing sound effects on midday music hall.
Yes, maybe, but if it wasn't for me, you'd still be in that non-stop nude show.
What's wrong with that? I still go there in my dreams. Oh, if I'd known then what I know now. They'd never have had me.
I say, do you want me to announce this last item?
I'm not bothered.
Yes, Charles.
Thank you.
He's forgotten his Scottish accent, hasn't he?
Yes. You leave it to me, Charles. We do want you. 10 years we've had it. Oh, murder. Yes.
Silence for Charles.
Shut me up, eh?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, listeners, of all the pieces which we have been performed in Take It From Here in the last 10 years...
What program?
Take It From Here.
Oh, yes.
I think the one that we've had most requests to do again is a musical idea.
Full stop.
That's
full stop.
Back in 1951... Back in 1951, we suggested that BBC weather forecasts might attract more listeners if they were sung rather than spoken.
Very good idea.
So from this point, we got onto the idea of presenting the weather forecast in operatic terms. So here, with Jimmy and Dick's permission, is Tyfe's operatic weather forecast.
Well, thank you, down.
South cones have been hoisted in areas fine. Dogger Bank, Hebrides and Thames, Dover Straits and Portland bite the winds, veering off near the Firth of the Forth. But it's bright nearly every night round the Isle of Wight.
Heligoland has had a fall of snow, 40 below, near Scarborough. And from Iceland there's enough cold air in store to freeze the knocker off a door.
Did you say off a door?
Yes, off a door.
Right up a great big door.
In in Ross and Finster, the outlook is sinister. Rockall and London will clear up by Monday.
There's poor visibility from Biscay to Cromarty. First net to Ferrows, the fog's getting black. You can't see your hand, can't see your hand behind your back.
Taking the temperature with a thermometer, centigrade Fahrenheit, where's the barometer? Check the velocities, what are their velocities? Mucking about on the ministry roof. The mercury sunk to the figure O. Figure O.
Figure O?
Figure O. 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 Figure O.
So we come to the end of the ship's forecast, which is no heavy rain, plus an icy blast, but the mariners brave the stormy bunk. They know it's even worse at home. At home. It's worse. It's even worse at home.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm afraid my moustache got in the way at the last minute. Well, may we just return for this brief moment to thank all you listeners for your much valued support during the past 10 years.
We have always endeavoured to see that our entertainment is wholesome, healthy, and dead clean.
Bentley, keep it credible. What we are trying to say in our old-fashioned little way, is deep sincerity, yeah, is if we ever have caused hurt, wounded any of your feelings, or in any way given offence,
thank you and good night.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and
take it from